After wreaking havoc in parts of Mindanao and the Visayas, Tropical Storm Dante now dumping rains over Luzon as it moves northwestward. More power outages expected in Luzon as the red alert status remains over its power grid. One of the PDP Laban's founding members hits the ruling party's move, urging President Rodrigo Duterte to run for vice president next year. The man who made that statement, former Congressman Lutgardo Barbo, will be joining us, along with the convener of opposition coalition, attorney Howard Calleja. And Malacañang welcomes the World Health Organization's approval of the Chinese-made CoronaVac COVID-19 vaccine. Hi, I'm Carmina Juan-Santino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. We begin with the latest on the effects of Tropical Storm Dante. Hundreds of families in Butuan City forced to flee their homes due to rising floodwaters there. ABS-CBN's Charmaine Awita now joins us on the line for an update. Charmaine, go ahead. What else can you tell us?
Yes, Carmina, the sun is up here in Butuan and floods in the affected barangays already subsided following the onslaught of Tropical Storm Dante. Butuan City experienced non-stop rains Monday evening until Tuesday, which resulted to floods in low-lying barangays in the city. City Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Office immediately deployed personnel and floating assets in some barangays to rescue residents for forced evacuation. Based on the record of City Social Welfare and Development, there were 1,261 families or 4,530 individuals affected by the flood in barangays Los Angeles, Santo Niño, Lemon, Ampayon, Pangabugan, Baubawan, Mahay, Pigdaulan, and Baan Kilometer 3 in the city, who were sheltered at the assigned evacuation centers. Moreover, the office distributed relief packs for the affected families, which consists of 10 kilos rice, canned goods, milk, coffee. And while City Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Office distributed non-food items to affected families, which includes dignity kits, utensils, blankets, and emergency lamps. As of today, Carmina, residents already returned to their homes as flood subsides in their area. Reporting for ANC, Charmaine Awita on ABS-CBN News.
Thanks a lot, Charmaine, for joining us. Keep safe. Take care. Moving on, work in government offices and classes remain suspended in Tacloban City due to Tropical Storm Dante. Sharon Evite now is on the line to tell us more about this. Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina. Low-lying and flood-prone areas in the province of Biliran were engulfed by floods as heavy and non-stop rains caused by Tropical Storm Dante swept through eastern Visayas Tuesday. Rescue operations were also launched last night in Kabugayan, Biliran, where some families were trapped inside their homes by flood waters. Among the flooded areas in Kabugayan town are Barangay Esperanza, Balakid, and Sichibasud, where residents evacuated to safer ground. Instructional materials and modules got soaked in flood waters as 12 classrooms in Balakid Elementary School in Kabugayan got underwater. This after heavy rains caused the river near the school to overflow. The heavy rains also brought floods and landslides in Zone 3 and 4 in Barangay Sanggalang, Biliran. The Department of Public Works and Highways this morning deployed 99 workers to immediately clear roads of debris that rendered them impossible at the height of the tropical storm. Carmina, local government units in Biliran province also declared extension of suspension of work and classes in all levels today. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Sharon, for joining us. Keep safe. Take care. Thousands evacuated from their homes in Albay province due to the threat posed by Tropical Storm Dante. Cedric Daep, chief of the Albay Public Safety and Emergency Management office ads, classes have also been suspended, as well as work and mall operations. However, Dante could miss Albay altogether as it continues to move northwest toward Batangas. Daib says authorities may send evacuees home if weather conditions improve.
Sa ngayon, baka mag-decamp sila pag nag-issue kami ng decampment order. Depende yan. Kasi ang in-anticipate namin, hindi lang yung signal, yung ulan. Kaya tinitinan pa rin namin, nagkikiramdam pa rin kami sa movement ng typhoon para baka sakaling sa kanyang direksyon, ma-analyze namin na hindi na kami tatama ng malakas na ulan.
The World Health Organization gives the green light to the COVID-19 vaccine of Chinese firm Sinovac. The WHO's technical advisory group reached the decision after reviewing the latest clinical data on the CoronaVac vaccine's safety, as well as the company's manufacturing practice. The WHO's emergency listing allows the CoronaVac shot to be included in the COVAX program, which faces major supply problems. The WHO notes the jab's easy storage requirements make it suitable for low-income countries. Philippine presidential spokesperson Harry Roque welcomed the WHO's decision. He says this will further boost public confidence in government's vaccination program. Moderna follows the footsteps of Pfizer as it seeks full approval of its COVID-19 vaccine in the United States. The details in this report.
Moderna on Tuesday filed for full U.S. approval of its COVID-19 vaccine, making it the second drug maker in the country to do so. Currently, the company is only authorized for emergency use in the U.S., but a full approval could be an important step in diminishing vaccine hesitancy. It would also allow the vaccine maker to market their shots directly, as well as help companies and government agencies looking for vaccinations for their employees. The move by Moderna comes just weeks after rival Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech sought full approval for their COVID-19 vaccine in the United States. Moderna has an agreement with the U.S. government to supply 300 million doses of its COVID-19 vaccine, with more than 151 million doses already distributed. The company said it will continue to submit data to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on a rolling basis over the coming weeks, with a request for a priority review. On completion of the submission, the FDA will notify the company when it is formally accepted for review.
Here in the Philippines, the vaccination of the fourth priority group, the economic frontliners, kicking off mid-June. That's according to Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. He says the A4 vaccination will start once the country receives the bulk of doses from Sinovac, Pfizer, and AstraZeneca. It will also begin with individuals aged 40 and up.
Noong nagkaroon kami ng IATF meeting, napakasunduan na hatiin lang sa dalawa. Okay. On age level. So ang gagawin natin is 40 and up ang first priority, and then ang next is 39 and below. Ayun. Kasi nakita po natin sa science, medyo vulnerable po yung mga 40 and up. Yung LGU may opt to, use that tinatawag nating prioritization.
The Philippine government targeting to improve contact tracing in the 14 areas placed under the second strictest lockdown classification. Dr. Ted Herbosa, special advisor to the interagency task force, admits contact tracing in these high-risk areas are weak. Meanwhile, Herbosa says government will set aside more COVID-19 vaccines for these areas, which include various provinces in the Visayas and Mindanao.
Na-request nila yan, no? Na dagdagan yung kanilang mga allocation or quota ng bakuna at pumayag naman ang national government. In fact, meron talaga tayong tinatawag na parang buffer stock para sa mga lugar na ito. And medyo naubos nga yung buffer stock natin. Luckily, may dadating pa tayong 1 million doses ng Sinovac. at yun ang magandang magagamit natin para pag-distribute dito sa mga hotspots.
And going back now to the effects of Tropical Storm Dante, parts of Maasin City in southern Leyte now flooded. Let's get the latest now from Jeanette Ruedas. She joins us on the line. Jeanette, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina. Heavy rains was experienced in southern Leyte yesterday as Tropical Storm Dante battered Visayas and Mindanao. Due to the incessant heavy rains, flash floods affected some areas in Maasin City. Some houses were submerged in flood waters. In Sitio Basak, Barangay Rizal, Maasin City, netizen Beverly Lorzano Donato was able to capture videos of the strong current of flood waters. But as of this moment, Carmina, the weather has generally improved and the flood waters have subsided. But the local government unit of the city, through Mayor Nacional Mercado, has issued an executive order for the suspension of classes and work in the government offices today to give way to the assessment and the restoration efforts of the government, of the LGU. No casualties, however, were reported due to the flooding brought by Tropical Storm Dante. But there are more or less 830 families at the different evacuation centers now in the city of Maasin. Mayor Mercado, however, assured that those affected families will be given a relief pack until they are able to go back to their respective homes. That's the latest in Southern Leyte. Jeanette Ruedas, ABS-CBN News.
Thanks a lot, Jeanette. Keep safe. Take care. The Philippines' COVID-19 death toll now at over 21,000. That's after the health department logged 46 new deaths on Tuesday. An additional 5,117 new cases were also reported, bringing the total number of cases nationwide to 1,235,000. Aside from Region 6 in the Visayas and Regions 10, 11, and Caraga in Mindanao, Region 2 in Luzon is seen to have recorded the highest growth rate in cases at 133%.
At nagsisimula yan, nasa MGCQ areas eh. Tapos kung sino yung magiging relax, sino yung magiging kampante, sino yung biglang hindi muna susunod sa minimum health standard, sila yung biglang magiging bagong hotspots.
The Philippine House of Representatives has approved on final reading the country's proposed third COVID-19 stimulus package. 238 lawmakers voted in favor of that measure, despite fears it would become an unfunded law. The 401 billion peso bayanihan to arise as one bill aims to provide direct assistance to Filipinos badly hit by the pandemic. It will be funded primarily from the unprogrammed funds and unused money from the first two bayanihan laws. The measure is now in the hands of the Senate, but Senate President Vicente Soto III had said it is unlikely to be approved by the upper chamber this week. In other news, Philippine Vice President Leni Robredo still undecided on whether to run for president or any position for that matter in next year's elections. In an interview with former COMELEC Commissioner Gregorio Larrazabal, Robredo said only one thing is certain. She will stay in public office.
Ang default sa akin, yung pag-run ng presidente, siguro dahil vice president ako ngayon. Pag sinabi ko default, that's what people expect me to do. And ako sasabihin ko, ano naman ako eh, yung sense of duty ko naman mataas. So ang gusto ko sabihin, hindi ko papairalin yung personal na gusto ko. Halimbawa, gusto ko na magpahinga. Talagang gusto ko magpahinga. Talagang yung mga anak ko, gusto nila. Mas marami na akong oras sa kanila. Pero again, ako, yung sense of duty ko naman mataas. Yeah.
Robredo is one of those being considered by opposition coalition Isambayan as its presidential candidate. A mayor in the province of Bulacan claims surveys being conducted for Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte are purely the initiatives of volunteers. Giginto Mayor Ambrosio Cruz Jr. also denies local officials in Baliwag are being told to conduct a survey to determine if there is enough support for Mayor Duterte's possible presidential bid next year.
I was informed that there is no actually even a pressure on the part of any people. No, there's no letter from the municipality. I think it's the initiative of a lot of volunteers going around in Bulacan. In fact, a group of volunteers, which is actually asking for Sara to run, I was told that the required signature is about 17 million. There were, I think I have about a total of 15. So they're asking for more signature, and this group of volunteers is going around in Bulacan and asking the barangay captain if they can help. But I don't feel any such pressure, not even a directive. It's purely out of in the spirit of volunteerism.
We're going to take a quick break now. More news after these. Still ahead, our discussion also with the Sampayan convener, Howard Calieja. Keep it here on AMC, guys. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on AMC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. After wreaking havoc in parts of Mindanao and the Visayas, Tropical Storm Dante now dumping rains over Luzon as it moves northwestward. More power outages expected in Luzon as the red alert status remains over its power grid. One of the PDP Laban's founding member hits the country's the ruling party's move, urging President Rodrigo Duterte to run for vice president next year. And Malacañang welcomes the World Health Organization's approval of the Chinese-made CoronaVac vaccine for COVID-19. Back with more news, PDP Laban President Senator Manny Pacquiao will stay with the ruling party despite his opposition to the recent National Council meeting. That's according to the party's National Executive Director, Ronald Monsayac. He says all Pacquiao wants is for his fellow party mates to follow the rules. During that meeting, members of PDP Laban called on party chairman President Rodrigo Duterte to run for vice president in next year's elections. Pacquiao's camp questions the legality of that event because it was not coordinated with him.
To remedy this, we actually are requesting a meeting with our party chairman so that both the top leaders of our party can sit down, fix agenda, and then we can properly call and convene the real and legal National Council. I doubt, ma'am, if President Duterte will refuse to see Senator Manny because just like as what Malacañang said, they still see Senator Manny as their ally. As of this morning, wala po pong response, but we totally understand because the president is very, very busy.
Meanwhile, one of the founding members of PDP Laban, Lutgardo Barbo, slams the resolution urging Duterte to run for vice president. He claims most of the signatories to the resolution are not even members of the party. Barbo adds he did not attend Monday's National Council meeting and would have not signed what he calls a resolution made in very bad taste. Well, opposition coalition Isang Bayan called the prospect of President Duterte running for vice president next year as a joke of the worst kind. Joining us now is one of the conveners of Isang Bayan, Attorney Howard Calieja. Attorney Calieja, good afternoon to you and thank you for joining us today.
Yes, Carmina, good afternoon and good afternoon to your televiewers.
All right, I was speaking with Cabinet Secretary Carlo Nograles yesterday. And this is what he said, as well as Attorney Lambino. This is also what he said. They said, there's nothing legally wrong with it. There are precedents. That's a justification they're using. But you're saying they're making a mockery of the Constitution by urging the president to run as VP. Why do you say that?
Well, first, I would like to say that I still give my utmost respect to Cabsec Carlo, although I cannot say the same for the other members of the PDP. However, I would disagree. Sadly, I would disagree that I think they are not only misguided, but they are maybe morally unfit to make this statement. I said that it is a mockery of the Constitution, because I indeed would admit that there is a gray area. It prohibits a re-election of the president. But if you look at the spirit of the law, you know, when we implement the law, you don't only look at the legal statements or the words in it, but you have to look at the spirit and the intent of the law. The spirit and the intent of the law is that no president should sit for more than 6 years. Actually, if you read the Constitution, it says that any president who sits for more than 4 years, kasi kunyari, like for example, Vice President Gloria, if she sat for more than 4 years, she would not have been eligible for a re-election. However, she sat less than that. So that's another story. But then again, the point there is anybody who sat for 4 years as president cannot be re-elected, meaning the spirit and intent of the law is no person can do the dictator role, just like Marcos before, of sitting of more than 4 or 6 years, no? Kaya nga ginawa na nga 6 years. Remember, the Constitution before was 4 years.
But then, Attorney Calia, they're going to say, he's not running for president. He's running as VP. And as precisely, in many things in this country, that may be legal, but is it right?
Precisely, Carmina. That's why the president, that they were saying that they can run for mayor or other positions or Congress, because that is not, there is no succession there for president. Here, if you are VP, because it only talks of election or re-election, then as I said, there is the gray area. But the intent there is not for them to sit longer than 6 years. So in the event that the vice president can assume office, if let's say the president resigns or is incapacitated, then that president would have assumed more than 6 years. They're saying that Gloria Arroyo was speaker, Erap was mayor. But then again, if you look at it, none of them can assume the seat as a successor. Even as Speaker of the House, which would be number 4 in the line of succession, would only be a succession for purposes of calling a election. It's an interim basis and not to prolong him or her into power, which is what is the intent and the spirit of the Constitution. That's why we're saying, you know, Carmina, kung itong presidenteng ito, itong administrasyon na ito, hindi marunong sumunod sa batas, then ano pang i-continue natin? Gusto pa natin ipagpatuloy ang hindi pagsunod sa batas? Gusto ba natin i-continue ang palpak na administrasyon? If that's what they want, well, I don't think, as I said in the statement that I came out, you know, it is a mockery, but I think it will be rejected by the Filipino people. They see that the Davao formula of authoritarian and dictator rule is not fit for the Filipino people. And I believe and trust that the Filipino people will reject any kind of mockery and sa akin, disrespect na ito sa taong bayan ng Filipino.
You know what they're going to say, though? You know what they're going to say, Attorney Calia? They're going to say, you're only saying that because obviously you're a convener of the opposition coalition. And you're only saying that because if that bid happens, then it's going to be a formidable one that is going to be difficult to beat. Your thoughts on it?
You know, I think Carmina, what is important here is that's why ayaw ng re-election, because you cannot use the facilities, the machinery, the resources of government. As vice president, especially, they're saying the vice president will even choose his running mate. Parang baliktad ata. Diba? It should be the president choosing the running mate who is the president. So it shows that technically, who is calling the shots? It would still be President Duterte. You know, I even doubt if he even gets up every morning and if he can be physically or healthy to fit all the shots. But then again, that is another issue again, Carmina. But the point here is, gagamitin na naman ang resources ng government. Yun ang I think, in addition to the spirit, that is what the Constitution is trying to prohibit. Ayaw natin, we don't want to install another authoritarian, another dictator, another dynastic rule of presidency. Hindi po ito monarchy na pwedeng manahin ng kahit na sino. Ang sasabihin pa nila, ibibigay naman ito sa taong bayan para bumoto. Ultimately, ang taong bayan ang boboto. Pero wag naman po nating lukohin ang taong bayan. Inoko na natin sila, Carmina, sa jet ski. Joke, joke, joke. Magpapaloko ba tayo ulit? Diba?
May isa pang aspeto dito, Attorney Calieja, and that's the party itself. These people who were in that meeting, don't you think they also want to take part in the machinery that you described? To them, it's all about the next electoral victory, and they want part of that machinery. And is this could this be possible? Could this be another possible reason that they know that the machinery is going to get even stronger if Duterte stays within, if he runs for VP? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, because after the last zona, the president is a lame duck president because they would be looking already at the next candidate, whoever he or she may be. However, if you are running for vice president, then technically the candidate is still you because your presidential candidate is your puppet. So technically, all the resources, all the support, as you said, of the party will be used still. So it is not Rodrigo Duterte as vice president. It is still Rodrigo Duterte as president. And to be honest, Carmina, kung limang taon, sinabi niya 3 to 6 months susupuin niya ang droga, 6 months susupuin niya ang corruption, ganito, ganyan. Meron pa nga akong narinig, 3 days susupuin niya yung rice cartel. Tatapos daw niya yung endo. If as president, he was not able to do all these things, palpak lahat ito. Yung pandemic, tayo na ang huli sa Southeast Asia. Palpak pa rin tayo. What more can he do as vice president? Ano bang iko-continue niya? Kukontinue siya mag-utang para lumaki yung utang ng Pilipinas? Dumoble na nga sa term niya. So pwede niya i-continue yun, pero kawawa naman po ang mamamayang Pilipino. And I think, you know, PDP Labad, I have high regard for this party since the 1980s. I think the founders, especially the stalwarts of PDP Laban, who have already gone, I mean, Lord bless their soul, I think they're turning in their graves because they fought against a dictatorship. They fought against an authoritarian regime. Now, their own party that rejected the Marcos administration is now propagating another, I would say, a worse dictator than Marcos.
Attorney Calieja, how would you describe what has become of PDP Laban since it was formed in 1983?
Well, kumbaga, it has morphed into a party, kumbaga, a KBL part 2 that has in the worst kind. Because all the ills that we tried to fight and we tried to get out during the 1986 revolution, during the snap election, during the new constitution that we have in 1987 are precisely being set aside. As I said, mockery. Diba? Ano bang mockery dyan? Ito nga, yung ayaw natin na mas mahaba pa sa 6 years ang presidente. Ayaw natin ng dynasty. This is dynasty to the highest degree. This is, kumbaga, all the principles, all the ideals, objectives of the Constitution is thrown to the wastebasket. If President Duterte wants to throw the arbitral award, I would rather that we throw this issue to the wastebasket and not the arbitral award.
Attorney Calieja, there's another issue still. The Duterte-Duterte tandem come 2022. They're going to try and make the whole country a Davao City because that's how they did it in Davao. When he stepped down, she stepped up, and it was Duterte, Duterte in Davao, but now they're going to replicate it. At least they're planning to replicate that. There is support for that. But what do you think of this tandem? If you think that shouldn't happen, why should the public reject this idea?
Well, I don't think it should happen. As I said, it is dynasty to the highest degree. But I am not scared about this tandem. Yes, it is a... it might be a formidable tandem because of the money that they will use, of the government resources. Nakita na nga natin, meron na mga barangay kukuha ng signature for Sara Duterte. So we see all of this and we know this is all part of dirty politics. I would think that Duterte-Duterte tandem is not only immoral, but it is the dirtiest politics that we can play, especially in the national level. But I think and I trust that isang bayan as a united opposition, once we have a single and united candidate for president, vice president, and 12 senators, we can defeat whoever their candidate or candidates they may be. We might be in a, kumbaga, sa laban, kumbaga, underdog. But, you know, things can happen. Miracles can happen. Always a David can always slay a Goliath.
We're going to talk more about that later, but first I want to ask you, the president does have that 16 million vote support behind him. How likely is it that whether it's VP or a Duterte-Duterte tandem, that that support will be transferable come 2022?
Yeah, that 16 million vote sa akin lang, Carmina, kahit umikot ka sa labas, sino ba yung, from that 16 million vote, ilan ba yung hindi na gusto ng Duterte ngayon? So I think that would be chipped off already. And I think that, as I said, no, that 16 million vote, that's not a that's not a majority. That's a plurality of the electorate. I trust, as I said, as a unified single opposition, single alternative candidate, we can win not only in 2022, but we will win by a majority candidate. So maybe in the first time again in Philippine history would we have a majority president come May 9, 2022.
How is this election process shaping up though? I know that there is a June 12 event. You're asking people to take part on this so that they have a stake in it, so that they have ownership of the idea as well. But how is it shaping up?
It's very, very nice, Carmina. Again, apologies for yesterday because talagang punong-puno. But today, of course, who can say no to Miss Carmina? Then again, I would just like to say na we have chapters from Luzon to Mindanao, even international. And they are more than, kumbaga, raring to participate. But not only do we open this for the membership of Isang Bayan, which I would say safely say runs into 2-4 million now, even more. But I would selection process is open to the public because, as I said, Isang Bayan is inclusive. Isang Bayan wants a unified country, wants a unified ticket, wants a unified Philippines. So we are not being exclusive to anybody. As long as you love your country, you love the democratic process, you respect the constitution, respect the rule of law, sanctity of life, then we can be united together.
Can you be all that without speaking out against the alleged misdeeds and atrocities committed by this administration, Attorney Calleja?
That's why we are saying the enablers of this administration, sad to say, if they continue their wicked ways, let's say of EJK, their wicked ways of red tagging, their wicked ways of disrespect to the Constitution, just like what they're doing now. They're not following the intent and the spirit of the Constitution. I don't think that they can be with Isang Bayan. But God willing, if we would be successful come May 9, 2022, we will serve the whole 110 million Filipinos, whether they are white, red, blue, orange, or green. Sa amin po, sa Isang Bayan, walang kulay. Ang Pilipino, isa lang po ang kulay niyan. Pilipinas po yan. So we will serve and protect. We will not be vengeful, but we will heal and unite the country. Whatever your color, whatever your opinion or ideas may be, we will respect that and we will come together in the same table with the one purpose of recovery from the pandemic and recovery from our economic and developmental woes so that hopefully come next generation, come next decade of Filipinos, it would be, sabi nga natin, tapat na pamumuhay at maginhawang. At tapat na pamumuno at maginhawang pamumuhay.
Let's go full circle now and go back to the topic at hand here, and that is what you call a mockery of the Constitution with the urging of the president to run for vice president. Is this how it's going to be? Are we just going to wait if he accepts, if he declines? Is there a legal remedy that can be put forth at this point?
Well, Carmina, bumenta na yan eh. Nakita na natin noong 2016 yan. Hindi ako tatakbo. Tapos nag-file ng maling certificate of candidacy, pero tumakbo pa rin. So we've seen that already. We've seen this scenario unfold.
Do we just watch?
That's why you're saying, do we want it again? But the point is, we cannot file any case until a certificate of candidacy has been filed, if ever, for vice president. So if ever a certificate of candidacy is filed, then the first course of action was to file for a disqualification in the COMELEC. So, or if you want to level it up immediately, then file a certiorari with the Supreme Court. But if you ask me, the best course of action once it is filed is to file a disqualification in the COMELEC. But as I said, it is a gray area, no? Legally speaking, it is not clear. However, it is very clear in the spirit, in the intent of the Constitution, that this sort of mockery should not be allowed. It is illegal through the intent and the spirit of the Constitution.
Final question, Attorney Calia. If it is all that you just said, then why aren't more people speaking out against it?
Well, your guess is as good as mine, Carmina. A lot of people are maybe trying to get over this pandemic. We cannot fault them if they would prioritize, of course, health, which to me, I pray that everybody becomes safe and healthy. And their economy, a lot of jobs have been lost during this pandemic. And I hope that and pray that in a roadmap that the Isang Bayan will present as an alternative to the Filipino people, they would see that not only will we get out of this pandemic after the Duterte administration, but we will also bring back jobs to the Filipino people, bring back the food to the table of the Filipino people, and bring back better life. Oh, sabi nga natin, masagana at masarap na pamumuhay para sa mamamayang Pilipino.
Attorney Howard Calia, one of the conveners of Isang Bayan. Nice to see you again, Howie. Take care and keep safe. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. All right, from there, and not everyone in the PDP Laban Party agrees that President Duterte should be their candidate for vice president in 2022. One of the party's founding members and current party vice president for the Visayas, Lutgardo Barbo, now joins us on the line. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to the program, Mr. Barbo.
Yes, good afternoon, Carmina. And I'm happy to be invited.
All right. You did not attend that National Council meeting a couple of days back. What was your reason for not attending?
Well, I foresaw that there was some kind of trickery. I was told that it was going to be some kind of party matters discussion, pero yung pala meron ng binubuo silang, they were passing around the resolution yata, or somebody stood up to sponsor asking the president to run for vice president. I knew that earlier, so I did not have to go there. Although I could have joined by Zoom, but I didn't. At saka, I am uncomfortable with some people there because these people pretend to be PDP Laban members. I know they are not because may mga requirements kami. I should know. I was with PDP Laban for more than two decades now. Meron sinasabing kuan BMS, Basic Membership Seminar.
Mm-mm.
And many of them did not undergo that. Ang akala nila kasi na just the mere raising of right hands or left hands and then parroting the oath of allegiance would make them members. Ang ang raising of hands and taking the oath of allegiance is merely ceremonial or ministerial, but the operative act for one to become a member is to attend a basic membership seminar where there is discussion of issues national and even international, and hopefully those who are undergoing the seminar will imbibe the party principles, the ideals, and the objectives. And of course, there are other requirements.
Yeah, I'm going to read to you part of the statement that you released after what had happened a couple of days back. You said, halata na katakawan at personal interest, hindi public service and national interest. Yun ang sinabi nyo when your colleagues, your co-party members, signed that resolution asking the president to run for VP. You said, nakakahiya, that it's embarrassing. Why do you say so?
Well, number one, I stand by what I said. Nakakahiya naman talaga yan kasi you do not ask the members to support immediately a sitting president to run for vice president. And our suspicion is that this is more personal to those who want to evade some repercussions from violations of law. I know some of them, or if not most of them, who are government officials, and they are using government funds to attend that meeting. Those who did not go there might have been attending via Zoom on official time, and to me, that is not appropriate. Katakawan yan because nandyan pa gusto ng manigurado na i-endorse for Vice President to ensure that Malacanang will be within their grasp and within their hands.
Are there other members who have the same sentiment? Hindi lang ho ba kayo nag-iisa? Marami ho pa ba kayong kapartido na ganito din ang pag-iisip?
Ang alam ko, meron. Meron din. Siguro yung iba natatakot lang magsalita. I think it's about time, even if you are not a member of PDP Laban, somebody should stand up and say enough is enough. Ang public service is not for personal, selfish, vested interests. And knowing na mga kapalpakan naman ang nangyayari, I think it behoves us to stand up and say perhaps a new direction, or under a new guidance, or some kind of an innovative, creative approach would help solve some of national problems. But the problem is the direction is towards China. And I can't believe the president who is a member of PDP Laban, and who I think is part of hijacking PDP Laban, because he is not in the first place a member of PDP Laban. Hugpong naman si Presidente.
Correct.
Mukhang ano lang namin yun, inalok lang namin yun, because we thought na he intended to pursue some of the ideals of the party, like federalism, which was one, and of course yung mga sinasabi namin na PDP Laban is the alternative political party. It is
final
not
question.
Like the mainstream political party. It is it has some vision that very different from other political parties. Yung mga national parties that we see now, different ang approach namin, especially with I always remember Nene Pimentel and the rest of founders of PDP Laban, and yes. I think in memory of them, I was telling myself na somebody should stand up and say that mukhang hinijack tayo dito.
Okay, final question. Somebody should stand up. Is that going to be you? You're the vice president for Visayas of PDP Laban.
Well, not only me. It would be presumptuous for me to be alone. Say I am alone. I know there are people who are going to stand up and say, mali yan, hindi yan ang ano na PDP Laban. Nakakahiya naman yung ganyan. At saka pinag-uusapan yan, hindi basta-basta.
Former Congressman Lutardo Barbara, I'm sorry to cut you there, but we've run out of time. I'm going to call you again. We're going to talk some more about this.
But we've run out of time. Governor po ako.
Oh, Governor, sorry. Uh-huh. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
We're going to call you again, talk more about this. We apologize, but we've run out of time. Thank you, though, for taking our call.
Hope to talk to you again soon.
Maraming salamat po. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right, moving on. More power outages expected today in several parts of Luzon as the Luzon power grid remains under red alert status. The red alert status is in effect between 9 in the morning and 5 in the afternoon, and then again between 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. The rotational power interruptions are due to a continuous deficit in power plants. The power outages began Monday after more than 20 power plants shut down all at the same time. The situation in the Luzon grid is expected to last until next week. Senate Energy Committee Chair Sherwin Gatchagian fears the power outages will affect the country's vaccine rollout.
Noong April, nagkaroon kami ng pagdinig dito para tanungin ang Department of Energy kung ano ang sitwasyon natin pagdating sa kuryente. Nabigyan kami ng assurance na hindi magkakaroon ng brownout. Kinakabahan ako magiging sanhi ng delay at baka tumaas rin yung tinatawag nating vaccine hesitancy dahil marami ayaw pumunta doon dahil mabagal, mainit.
Well, the headlines couldn't be any clearer. Expect rotational power outages due to lack of supply. But here's the thing. How did we even get here? Surely the energy consumption at home can compare to the energy used by bigger establishments, which, by the way, have been using less electricity due to the pandemic, simply because the foot traffic hasn't been enough to warrant the full use of electricity. So if consumers aren't consuming that much electricity and big businesses aren't either, then why is there a lack of supply? Makes you think what else is in store for consumers once the economy finally reopens. If we're experiencing this now, what more then? Let's talk about this with Bert Dalusong. He is Energy Transition Advisor at the Institute for Climate and Sustainable Cities. Mr. Dalusong, good morning. Good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Carmina, and thank you for having me.
All right. Quick question. I don't know if it's going to be a short or long answer, but how did we get here? Why is there a shortage in power supply?
Well, Carmina, the shortage in power supply, or more accurately, a lack of reserve capacity, has been known to the energy sector. And in fact, was reported to the JCEC meeting that Senator Win Gatchalian referred to in his statement earlier. There was a chart submitted by or presented by the Department of Energy showing that at about this time, we would be practically in yellow alert. And the fact that we are now on red alert is really consistent with the projection of the Department of Energy. Mm-hmm. Why did we get here? Well, I'd like to take you back to last year, early in the year 2020, prior to the COVID-19 quarantines. At that time, the DOE also reported that we are facing red alert, yellow alert at about the same April to June period of 2020 before the lockdowns happened. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing is a repeat of that scenario. Earlier you said that, well, businesses aren't consuming that much. I looked at the data for May from our wholesale electricity spot market, looked at the data, and easily I saw an increase of about 1,500 megawatts additional peak demand in Luzon. Normally, we'd say that's good because that means our business are, restarting.
Yeah.
But the effect of that is to further stress our capacity to deliver power. So I believe that's what happened. Demand was recovering, businesses were starting to get back on track, and we hit that limit in our power capacity.
So if the DOE was fully aware of this, and there is, I know that there is a circular that mandates the NGCP to make sure that there will always be ancillary services, who dropped the ball?
Yeah, it's not a very easy question to answer, Carmina. I think you'll have to, the public has to understand that the power sector is a very long-term sector. You needed to have the plants available long before you actually required the reserve capacities. So I wouldn't say that anybody dropped the ball. I think that on the part of NGCP, they were mandated to have certain ancillary services. In the case of NGCP, they were not fully compliant, as I understand, based on the DOE's own numbers. But ancillary services is one thing. We really needed to have the reserve capacity to avert these types of situations. So I think that our lesson here is a more effective power expansion planning that doesn't happen in a matter of a handful of years, Carmina.
Yeah,
we
can't have this every single time it happens. Rotational power outages. So talk to me about solutions, and I don't mean until we get to the next red alert status and we live through this. I mean long-term solutions here. Let's talk about that. What is available? What is doable?
Well, when you say long-term solutions, that means let's have the new capacities available so that we avert these future situations. So that means we have to build new power plants. We have to build the right kind of power plants. I think several studies done recently have shown that what we need are flexible power plants. That means power plants with the ability to adjust to varying levels of load. One of the things that we've found out is that the hourly loads in the Philippines, there is a high variation. In other words, even if you look at a particular hour, say 12 noon every day, it's not a certain number. There is a range of numbers, and it can go it can drop because of weather. For example, it rained. I was in, I'm at home, 9 o'clock, it started raining in Las Piñas. So we must have dropped several hundred megawatts in the load just on the basis of that alone. It's in the nature of our environment that we have that kind of a characteristic in our load. So our system has to be able to adjust. We need to have a set of power plants that will be able to provide least cost, have that kind of flexibility. And I'd like to stress.
And what kind of power plants would that be? Sorry to cut you there, but what kind of power plants?
Yes, would that be? I'd like to stress that it's a mix of power plants. Recently, based on, I'm part of the National Renewable Energy Board, I've looked at the information on assumptions on cost of various power plants. It appears that the lowest cost power plant, for example, today is solar, renewable. We know the limitation of renewables. It's the solar is there when the sun is shining. But the point is, it is the grid that has to provide the 24-hour service. We need this mix of cheap power, flexible generation. Flexible generation can be had from oil-fired power plants, gas-fired power plants, even biomass power plants. We have pump storage hydro in Luzon that can provide that kind of flexible generation capacity also. So I think that it's really having a long-term plan, executing it, and making sure, you know, we have a system where government doesn't build the plants. Government provides the policy, private sector builds the plants. So if government provides the right policies, the right directions, private sector will be encouraged, hopefully, to build those plants at the times that when we need them.
All right. But, we're going to have to leave it at that. Thank you for joining us. Bertha Luzong, Energy Transition Advisor at the Institute for Climate and Sustainable Cities. Thanks for joining us on this busy, busy news day. Appreciate you having on the show.
Thank you very much,
Camila. Take care and keep safe. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, you guys. Keep it here on ANC.